You're listening to Greater LA on KCRW, the show that connects you to the people and the places of Southern California. Hey there, I'm Steve Chiatakis.
Can I get a
you
test?
Want a test?
Yep.
Yo. Hello.
In the AstroTurf backyard of one of those boxy white mansions in Studio City, the founders of a TikTok house are recording a video.
Action.
Welcome to the Honey House. That's you.
Okay.
Welcome to the Honey House.
All right.
Then it's going to be a shot of everybody from a drone. Then it's going to be me at the start of
If you lost us at the phrase TikTok house, you're probably not 15 years old or watching viral videos 24/7. But a lot of people are, especially now that they're stuck at home. TikTok has become the most downloaded app in the world. It's projected to hit 1 billion, with a B, active monthly users any day now. And as the app has gained in popularity, a bunch of talent management companies had a brilliant idea to cash in. Why not gather 10 or 15 of the most popular TikTok stars in existence? We're talking teenagers with millions of followers, and put them all in a fancy house to make videos together.
Honestly, there's probably upwards of 20 houses in Los Angeles now.
That's JT Barnett, the co-founder of this house. It's called Honey House. Maybe you've heard of Sway House, Hype House, Clubhouse Beverly Hills. L.A. is full of these houses, and new ones are popping up every week. So what's the appeal? Why do these TikTok accounts go viral? And does anyone actually make money from this? Reporter Gina Pollack spent a day inside Honey House to find out.
After watching way too many TikToks filmed in Honey House, I've gathered it's the kind of place where everyone drinks probiotic tea, loves pumping weights, and has collectively the most visible abs I've ever seen. So before I go, I'm a little nervous. Because I'm not really a positive vibes, fitnessy kind of person. I don't wear t-shirts that say live, laugh, love or rosé all day. I think protein powder is a scam. And I'm walking into a house full of influencers who are basically the spokespeople for all of those things. When I arrive, they're already working out.
Thank you, Mama Brown. Yeah.
Four couples live in Honey House. Add that to a three-person film crew, and you get 11 roommates in this five-bedroom McMansion. Unlike lots of other TikTok houses, the couples on camera skew a little older. They're all in their late 20s, early 30s, and most of them have real grown-up jobs, like e-commerce consultant and personal trainer.
I think we're the first adult TikTok house, as the internet has quoted us.
JT started Honey House with his friend Nick Dio in August. Before that, he ran an event called Reset, a retreat designed to help people detox the day after Coachella, but with green juice and cryotherapy instead of hard drugs. When Coachella was canceled this year, JT and Nick had another idea. Why not create a TikTok house devoted to health, wellness, and positive vibes?
Welcome to the Honey House. We started this idea about 2 months ago where we decided to bring all of our friends together to spend quarantine in one place where we could pump out content and just have a good time.
Nick, who's voicing that video, says the crew would normally be going out, socializing, traveling to places like Tulum or Bali. But a TikTok house is kind of perfect for pandemic times. You're already staying at home, so why not stay at home together in a pod with your friends? Apparently, the internet agreed. By September, Honey House had over 500,000 followers, and that was just season one. 2 months later, I'm here for the first week of season two. And yeah, they think of this whole thing in terms of seasons, like TV. Remember The Real World?
This is the true story!
True story of seven strangers.
Picked to live in a house.
It's like that, minus the drama. Honey House's videos are wholesome, G-rated, and as JT calls it, brand safe.
We look at it more of like a Modern Family meets Real World meets Well and Good.
Mainly, they play hopscotch. The housemates get into kind of a conga line to the tune of Rapper's Delight. They have at least 20 videos of this. They also do challenges, usually between the guys and girls in the house. They call it Homies versus Honeys. They're like the games you might see on Survivor, except no one gets kicked off the island. In one, the guys and girls have to dig out gummy bears from a plate of whipped cream. And in another, each of them has to retrieve a can of sponsored alcoholic seltzer by pulling it on a roll of toilet paper.
Go.
3, 2, 1, action.
Come on, Nick. Come on, Nick. Come on, Nick.
It's like one of their captions says, good, clean, fun. So, what's the long game? Nick is kind of the brain behind the business side of things. He explains while taking a post-workout dip in the pool.
Seasons last 31 days. It creates about 2 months of content. And then the plan is to do between 4 and 6 seasons a year.
To keep the analogy going, you know how there's a real world Miami, Austin, et cetera, times 33? That's pretty much what Honey House is going for.
We're in the process of booking out Miami, and then likely Austin, and then potentially Colorado or somewhere in the Northeast.
For the first few seasons, Nick, JT, and their respective girlfriends will be the stars of the show to establish the brand, Nick says. They'll cast the other couples locally each time they start a new season. Okay, but who pays rent on this $3.4 million Studio City home? JT and Nick cover it for everyone. They consider it an investment.
We're paying for rent, all utilities, the content and production team, and then those that are in the house are responsible for kind of day-to-day food and, you know, whatever kind of daily essential items that they need.
You're probably wondering how they actually make money from this. It can be hard to follow for those of us who don't throw around phrases like creating content. Nick and JT use a lot of buzzwords like this.
So first and foremost, we want to build a brand and a platform. So we want that to be overarching across multiple social media platforms itself.
Let me translate. JT explains that their ultimate goal is to create a media property, a franchise, like Survivor or The Bachelor, complete with merch like honey-themed hats and sweatshirts, plus full-scale product placement. Last season, Honey House was sponsored by a tequila seltzer brand and, wait for it, a rapid COVID test company. And this season, the kitchen is full of this stuff that'll eventually show up on camera.
This is Beam Protein. We have some protein bars over here. We have some pre-workout. We have some electrolytes from Hydrant. We have a morning greens.
The idea is, if they get enough brands to buy in, eventually JT and Nick won't have to pay rent. The profit from product sponsorships will pay for the house and then some. To scale up their operation, JT and Nick hired a content team for season 2. That's another buzzword. It means film crew. Eli Alvarez is in charge of filming everything for their YouTube page. Remember what JT said about multiple social media platforms? The team is constantly pumping out content for TikTok, but they also have a YouTube channel and an Instagram page. Eli is 19. He just graduated from high school in a small town in Indiana, and this is his first time in LA.
I got straight off the plane in the car with my brother, and I asked him, is this downtown LA? He was like, not even close. And then as we drive around every day, I realize, you know, everywhere you go, it looks like you're downtown.
For Eli, living in a TikTok house is a dream come true. Even though he sleeps on a mattress, in the basement, under the stairs.
It's been amazing, amazing first 3 days.
The rest of the content crew includes Eli's older brother, Caleb Alvarez, and his wife, Lindsay. You won't see them in any of Honey House's videos, but they're there, behind the scenes. The three of them work out of the house's basement massage room, which they've repurposed to be kind of a production office, with a whiteboard, massive hard drive, and lighting equipment for shooting confessionals. It's quite an operation.
Like their most responsive content, what they got the most views on was the behind the scenes of like how they did it. So we're going to release a behind the scenes with this TikTok.
So JT's camera is filming a TikTok. You're filming him filming the TikTok.
Yes.
And both of those will become TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In case you didn't catch that, while JT is filming the hopscotch session on his iPhone, Eli is filming JT filming the hopscotch on his iPhone, and Lindsay is filming all of that for the vlog. By the way, that behind-the-scenes TikTok now has 3.8 million views. The professional crew isn't the only change since season 1. The earlier version of Honey House also had 4 couples, and they all looked white. They got flack for that on Twitter. So ahead of the season, JT and Nick hired a casting manager who specializes in diversity and inclusion. That's how they found 4 new cast members for season 2. And they're all people of color. Jarek Walker is black and works in influencer marketing for the NFL.
you know, being on this is cool, and I'm excited that, you know, I know all of us are going to learn from each other, and but yeah, this adds new flavor and sauce.
Yeah.
A little bit of extra seasoning. Okay.
Mayra Gutierrez is also a new cast member for season 2. Like Jarek, she and her boyfriend Chris Bordenave said they were glad to represent in Honey House.
When I sent it out to my friends and family, and they were like, oh my God, the first reaction was, oh my God, I'm so happy you're going to be on there. I'm so happy somebody like us is going to be on there. And, you know, for the listeners, like I'm Salvadorian, brown skin, you know, just like brown, your typical Latina. And Chris is black, and so we're just happy to represent. Like,
most TikTok houses are predominantly white, so there's a lot of young people out there who don't get to see themselves in spaces like this.
We don't get a chance to do these kind of things, and like, we love to do challenges too, and we love to have fun too. And I think for it to be this diverse is really, really awesome. And that's
Myra
really
and Chris both grew up in LA. Myra in Koreatown, and Chris in Leimert Park.
Proud. We are both proud to
very, very proud.
Angelina's. Be able to be, you know, where we're from to represent is.
Yeah, we don't come from privilege. Cool. Like, yeah. Especially me. Both my parents are immigrants. Like, my mom is a housekeeper and a nanny, and my father has a landscaping business. And so, to be here now is beyond my parents' wildest dreams. And so, it seems so small, but it's not.
It's 8 p.m., and Nick is calling the camera crew to come up from the basement for family dinner.
Guys, let's go! Might need an extra chair or two from downstairs.
Everyone sits down together in the kitchen, the four couples and the three crew members. They're passing dishes back and forth, chatting, joking, laughing.
Cheers to the lovely people of Honey House. Cheers.
They go around the table, so each person can share their favorite and least favorite parts of the day.
And I'm going to say that my joy was this morning's workout. Yeah. I actually feel like it got me moving and grooving for the day.
It's another activity that might sound cheesy or artificially positive, but in the moment, it actually just feels nice. It's nice to have a group of people to listen to you talk about your day. Especially in a pandemic, it's nice just to be around people. The whole thing reminds me of summer camp or living in a dorm. There's a feeling of community and closeness that's so often missing from modern adult life. And as I say my goodbyes and head home to my one-bedroom apartment, where I've been seeing barely anyone for what feels like eternity, I really get the appeal of Honey House and TikTok houses in general. At a time when we're all so isolated, it's just nice to see a group of friends hanging out together, having fun, not worrying so much. Maybe right now, we could all use a little more brand safe positivity. For KCRW, I'm Gina Pollack.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
This is Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. This year has been a lot. We lost Kobe Bryant, John Prine, Kirk Douglas, Chadwick Boseman, and of course, heartbreakingly, all the people who were lost in this country to a terrible pandemic. Ugh. A nation that's been inundated with division, with protests decrying racial injustice, and of course, a never-ending election season. And there's only one person that's up to the task of both commiserating about the dumpster fire and giving specks of hope for the future. Someone who's found the common ground among the masses who have been at each other's throats, who have been either lamenting the pandemic or denying that it's even here, the quarantines, all the bad relationships during such a show, you name it. Heather Haberleski has spooned out advice about it. She is a champion for the aggrieved, a lightning rod for the angry mobs, and most of all, a beacon of hope for those who seek sanity, hand sanitizer, and toilet paper. And now she's here for you. Heather Haberleski writes the Ask Polly column for The Cut, part of New York Magazine. Hi, Heather.
Hi.
Did you like that intro?
Steve, I'm so pleased that that you finally gave me an intro that is worthy of me.
Just do me a favor and don't let your cape get in the way of the microphone.
Okay. Because it can sometimes hurt. Okay, I'll try. It's really hard. I'm sitting on a throne in outer space right now, so I don't know if our connection's that good.
What a year. What a year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, actually, I have to tell you, for the first half of the year, people would say, how are you, tell people how to handle the pandemic. What should you do? And my answer was, when I figure it out, I will just give you a little call. But for now, I can cry into the phone, if that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy year. The letters that I get from people have been, Jesus, the isolation, the longing, the loneliness, the marriage breakups, the friendship breakups, you know, and obviously the sickness and the death that we've all witnessed. It's touched all of us. It's really almost, anything you say sounds too small, you know, this year. You can't even sum it up.
In all seriousness, right? It's just awful. In the people that we've lost, the numbers were more than 300,000 people have died from this pandemic this year. It's been horrible, and rising. By the way, we can't seem to get a hold of this. And hopefully, the vaccine, you know, as we get more vaccines and vaccinations into people in this country and around the world, we'll see some of these numbers go down. But here we are at the holiday season, and because, you know, these numbers are spiking again, most of us are not going to be gathering, or we hope anyway that there's not this onslaught of people going to family homes or outside of their households, things like that. What are some of the pieces of advice you have for people who are feeling down and out about not being able to see their families?
Well, that's a hard one. I mean, I think it's really intense because it's actually kind of an echo of what you've already been through. What we've all already been through, which is anything you had going on inside of you, any kind of problems you had in your life, anything, you know, emotional, any kind of emotional challenges. 2020 just threw all that stuff down on the ground on top of you, and then it threw a big pile of new problems on there. And you know, you've got people out there that are struggling, broke, hungry, desperate. It's you know, some of us had the emotional and financial resources to crawl up out of that and have managed to do so every now and then. But there are a lot of people out there who are struggling. So I just start out by saying that we all need to make sure we're sending money, those of us who have any extra money to spare, to food banks and other local charities to help out our neighbors in need. I mean, I think that's just a starting point, you know. And then from there, it's sort of all about reflecting on what this incredible, you know, nightmare of a year has brought out and brought to your attention. And I think a lot of the thing that I counsel people on in my column, Ask Polly, is, you know, inviting all of the lessons and also the non-lessons and just the despair and the emotions of a situation, inviting all of that in without shame, inviting it all in without blaming yourself for how you reacted to any one thing, because we're all human beings who make mistakes. And you know, this year has shown us our probably weakest selves a lot of times. But you take all of that and you look at it and you think about the fact that, you know, you have to kind of pry open your mind to the idea that there will be a new day. You know, next year is going to be very different than this year. I think as we see people get vaccinated, I don't know if you've been watching people get vaccinated online. I don't like to look at my own arm being stabbed, but I could handle seeing other people get it. And it actually kind of makes me like, oh, yeah, can't wait.
Yeah.
But it also makes me cry. You know, it's like all this stuff comes up because you don't even know that you're, what you're feeling half the time this year. And all of a sudden you're on the floor weeping. You know, it's just, it's been the most unusual and surprising kind of experience. But I do think that we're going to slowly see people take the vaccine and the, you know, the immunity out there is going to change and it's going to feel really, really good. Eventually, it's just, it's going to be slow. It's like patience is kind of the word of the day, I think.
Are you hearing that, though, from people? I mean, people have been writing in for the better part of the last year, 10 months at least, since the pandemic's been here. You know, what are some common things that people are telling you? You know, I mean, obviously not only the loss, but the things, you know, the things that we have lost in our daily lives or just how odd this year has been.
I think that, you know, there are kind of two categories of people in long-term relationships. There are people who realize that their relationships are not what they want them to be. And then there are people who, and obviously that can include working on things and discovering new things about your relationship. And then there are people who actually have better relationships with the people around them than they had before the pandemic started. I think the people who I worry about the most are the people who are living alone, particularly in LA now that we have all these restrictions on our movements. I think for a lot of people, I'm hearing from a lot of people who are just really, really at the end of their rope with the isolation.
What do you tell them?
Well, I mean, I tell them what I'm doing, which is just staying on the phone for just the maximal amount of time I can get away with every day, which I never thought I'd do. I mean, I wouldn't say that I loved the phone before this year, but I just say yes to anyone who wants to talk, and I reach out to people and say, let's talk sometime. I mean, you can overschedule yourself. I think the weird thing about COVID and the isolation of it for me has been identifying. I'm a kind of like a knee-jerk avoidant person, but I've sort of identified that I value and benefit from human connection so much more than I was willing to admit as a writer who works all day alone, you know, at from home. Yeah. So it's been a discovery process. I think that it helps. I sort of like introduce that idea to a lot of people because a lot of the people who write to me are sort of like, I want more love in my life, but I also can't handle all these problems that people bring to the table and I want to get away from them. And it's like, you have to look at that conflicted thing and actually identify in yourself, like, how much connection do you want? Even if you're an introvert, chances are you could use a little more connection this year. So it's just sort of like, bring it down to the basics. How can I get more connection to other human beings? How can I feel more connected? How can I stick my neck out, reach out to just everyone who I have a connection with of any kind? I've been making new friends this year, like a lot of new friends.
How?
Because everybody's trapped.
How?
Through Twitter, sadly. I mean... Through professionally, I'll reach out to people like, I love your writing. I have sort of struck up anywhere there's a potential for friendship. I've sort of just, I've been diving in and just like, I mean, I've scared a few people off. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm a weirdo. It's not like I'd recommend this to just anyone. It's like, it kicks up a lot of shame. I just like go in guns
the
blazing.
The weirdos, by
like,
the way,
hey,
have a,
let's be friends.
We have
let's
a support
talk about
group.
Some stuff.
We have a support group called Weirdos United. So
I should have started. I mean, okay, so this is one of my regrets. Like, I should have just set up a conference call where people could just talk. But yeah, I need to start. I think I need to found Weirdos Anonymous.
Heather Haberleski, who writes the Ask Polly column for The Cut. Don't forget your cape, Heather, because you have a lot to do.
Okay, I won't forget it. Thank you.
That's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow, sitting on Santa's lap during a pandemic isn't ideal. Oh, no. So how are kids connecting with Santa this holiday season without spreading all those germs? We're online at kcrw.com/greaterLA. Share with us how you're doing. And, by the way, share with us your thoughts about holiday plans, if you have any. And please stay safe. Stay home as much as you can. Listen to us anytime. Subscribe to the podcast while you're there. and wherever you get your podcasts, by the way. And while you're online, support the radio station that supports you back with news and culture and music as part of KCRW's Drive to End 2020 campaign. That's at kcrw.com/give. And thank you for all you do. Jenna Cagle, Sonia Geis, Kat Yore, Ray Guarna, Phil Richards, Mario Saavedra, Amy Ta, Sue Margulies, and Christian Bordahl all made this show happen today, thanking them as well. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for your ears and time. Have a great night.